Amen. Well, we are wrapping up this series, Under God, this week. And you might remember a couple weeks ago, Pastor John kicked off this series talking about how our faith and the way that we see the world and see each person as a person created in the image of God and a person for whom Jesus died, that affects, that directs maybe the way that we interact with everybody around us. And then last weekend, Pastor Ben talked about what that means for us in the church as the body of Christ, that we have this destiny where God has invited us into Trinity, this life where God has invited us into Trinity, and this destiny of family forever. And because we have that vision of this life together, that impacts the way that we are with each other in the family of God. And if you missed one of those messages and you want to listen to that, those messages are posted on our website. And along with those messages, some questions for reflection and discussion, maybe group discussion. So check out the sermons page of our website if you missed those. You might remember if you were here last week that Pastor Ben wrapped up his message by saying, so what that means for us as the children of God is that you and I are called to build bridges in the world, that we are to be about that work. And that's exactly where I want to pick up. And hopefully by the end of this message, that idea of what it looks like to build bridges, to do that on a daily basis, what that looks like for us as God's children. And, you know, the question hopefully at the heart of all this for you is, where is God calling me to build a bridge today, now? And since we are basing this whole series off of the Pledge of Allegiance, I thought it might be a good idea for us to say that together now. So here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. In some ways, it sort of feels good to say that together. You know, you think about some of the division and the contention and everything going on in our country, for us to, as citizens of this country, just say that together. There's something powerful in that. The Pledge of Allegiance was actually written in the wake of the Civil War, a time in America's history when we were literally threatened with division, complete division, as a country. And so it was a statement that we are, as a nation, indivisible. It didn't actually become a pledge, like Congress didn't make it an official pledge for our country until 1942. And what was going on then? World War II, right. And so, you know, think about what it means for us to say we are a nation and our value is freedom as a nation. And we live out that value. We advocate for that value. And the words under God were not added until 1954. And if you think about what was going on in our country then, the threat of communism in our country was at least part of the reason that Congress added those words. Under God. But those two words, under God, for us, express a truth for us as Christians that is at the heart of this series. And it's this truth. We are under, you know, God has placed us under a variety of authorities, right? Our parents, the police, our teachers, the president. You know, if you study Fourth Commandment stuff, that's what that's about, honor your father and your mother, that God has placed us under these authorities. But we also believe as Christians that there is an ultimate authority who is God, right? And we all stand under the authority of God as our king, and our ultimate allegiance is to him. And whatever divisions might exist among us, for whatever reasons, we are, in the end, one family, and family forever. And so our interactions with each other should be shaped by that truth. Whatever political differences, whatever moral differences, you are my brother, you are my sister in Christ, and we are family forever. And that last phrase in the pledge, with liberty and justice for all, is both, it's a declaration of our national values that we stand for, we believe in liberty and justice, but it's also you saying that as a citizen of the United States, I will pursue, I will advocate freedom and justice, not for me, right, but for all, for those who are around me. I will advocate for freedom and justice for my neighbor who has that political sign in their yard. I will advocate for them. I will advocate freedom and justice for that person who is having a hard time finding a place to live because of their skin color. I have a responsibility to your access to freedom and justice. That's what we're saying as we say this pledge together. And that same phrase, with liberty and justice for all, also captures a calling that God has given us as his children to build bridges in the world. So we're getting close to Reformation next Sunday, and we got to bring a little Martin Luther into this. So Martin Luther said in his treatise on the freedom of a Christian, he wrote this. He said, "The Christian is a perfectly free Lord subject to none. The Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all." So he said these two things exist in tension with each other. These are both true of us as Christians. So when I talk about freedom as a U.S. citizen, I think of the Bill of Rights, right? Certain freedoms that are enshrined in those Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the right to bear arms, right? But you got to know that when the Bible is talking about freedom, the Bible is talking about a different kind of freedom, right? It's talking about a freedom that goes to the core of who we are, this kind of inner freedom. And what that looks like is this. You and I were created with a need, certain needs, like a need for identity, knowing who I am, security, am I safe, and then purpose in life. What is my life about, right? Those three basic things. And the way that God designed us, he designed us to find those things in relationship with him, right? But the Bible tells us that sin cuts us off from God so that you and I are left searching in this life, searching in this world for identity and security and freedom. And we end up searching for those things in people and in things in a way that just does not satisfy, in a way that will ultimately disappoint us. If we are looking for those things ultimately, not in God, but in people and in things, we will always be in this struggle, what the Bible would call imprisonment, really. Jesus says in John 8, anyone who sins is a slave to sin, and sin is simply putting something in the place of God, right, that is rightfully God's place. Jesus also says in that same passage, John 8, he says, the truth will set you free. And the truth is this, that on the cross, Jesus lays out his life for you and me and pays for our sin in order to set us free and to open the way to a relationship with God so that we can get identity and security and freedom in this relationship with God, right? Like a fire hose, everything that we need. Because, see, if I get those things in relationship with God, the rest doesn't matter as much because I know who I am. I know my security is in him. I know what my purpose is in life. And that's how Luther can say we are a Christian is a perfectly free Lord subject to none, right? Because I know who I am in Christ. But with this freedom that Jesus won for you and me on the cross, with this freedom also comes a duty and a responsibility, right? Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 9:19. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. God says, I have set you free to be my child, to have this identity and this destiny forever in my family that can't be taken away, right? I've set you free. Now you, as my children, are called to go set other people free. That's how my kingdom grows, to build bridges by bringing freedom to others. So, for us Christians, liberty is really the message of the cross, freedom that we have in the cross, freedom from guilt, freedom from shame, freedom from despair. That message that no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, because we are all guilty, right? God offers you and me freedom and relationship and forever family through the cross. So there is no judgment, only grace poured out on the people of God. So who in your life needs to hear that message of freedom? Who in your life struggles with identity and security and meaning and purpose and life struggles and doesn't know that those are what God gives us through the cross that opens a way to a relationship with Him? Who in your life needs to hear that message of freedom? But it's not just freedom. It's not just liberty, right? God calls us not to just proclaim that He's made things right for us on the cross, but He also calls us to do justice. And that means you and I doing our part to make things right for others here and now, today. So in Matthew 23, Jesus blasts the religious leaders of His day. He says, "You are so good at keeping the details of the law, and yet you neglect the needs of the people around you." In Matthew 25, Jesus says to His followers, you know, to us, when you care for the hungry, when you care for the immigrant, when you care for the prisoner, who are we caring for? That Jesus is present in those people. God says in Psalm 68:5, He says, "He is father to the fatherless and a defender of widows." Orphans, widows, those who are powerless, those who are at the margins of society, God stands for them and with them. In Zechariah 7, God says that the religious fasts and feasts of His people are meaningless apart from justice, that our worship today is meaningless to God apart from a life lived, living out this kingdom value, living out justice. This is what Zechariah 7 says. This is what the Lord Almighty says: administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the immigrant or the poor. God stands with the marginalized people of every age, and He calls us, He expects us as His children to do the same. To build bridges of liberty and justice for all. To announce the freedom under the cross to be a child of God, to have all these things answered, to know who you are, and to then take your part in advocating for the powerless and the marginalized. Where is God calling you to build a bridge? Yesterday, we were down at Prince of Peace. Pastor John talked about that. And there were over 100 UC students in their scholars program working. And I had a group of 10 students. We went to a church down there, and they were doing some painting on the outside of the church and helping with a food pantry in the church. And, you know, I was so impressed with these students, because, you know, here are these college students up at 9 in the morning on a Saturday, but with, like, these hearts to serve. I mean, really, just, like, great hearts to go and serve. And you know, what they did was a small thing, right? They came alongside some people who were coming to the pantry and just helped them, kind of guide them through the pantry, just show some care for them. Painted the outside of a church. What difference does that make? Maybe it beautifies a neighborhood a little bit more so that the people who live there take pride in their neighborhood a little bit more. To do justice is to, in your own way, as the opportunities God gives, to make things right for those who might not have the same opportunities that you and I have. Some of our members are doing that through WizKids at Woodland Elementary, right? And we've been doing that for a few years. And we know that the kids, typically the kids who participate in WizKids, many of them come from families where the family situation might not provide as much support for that child, right? And so here's a person volunteering for WizKids, coming alongside that child to spend an hour a week just focusing on them, helping them gain some reading skills, trying to level the scales just a little bit, providing that little bit better opportunity for that child. Some people are doing that by volunteering for Hope in Action here, helping to serve meals, prepare meals in the kitchen, clean up, but also going out and serving people on the streets of Cincinnati. Because, you know, some of the folks who are homeless on the streets of Cincinnati are there because there was a medical something that wiped them out, right? And some are there because they lost a job. And so we can come alongside of them and show God's love and care and help tip the balance of the scales for them a little bit. God has blessed us. How can I use those blessings to help bring justice to somebody else who may not have what I have? Some people are doing that through 10,000 Reasons grants. I know that Missy Reardon had one of those grants for the kids in your school system, right? Operation Give Back for the kids in that school system, to help, again, tip the scales, to bless those kids. Heather Stanky and Jamie Leiden just got a 10,000 Reasons grant for Liberty Junior next door, because there is a pantry there that provides for kids who are doing without basic needs. And you say, Lakota School District, not, you know, basic needs? Absolutely. There was a kid at Lakota East that I helped care for 2 years who was living on the streets, a student at Lakota East. And so here is, you know, a way for us to come alongside those students and help even the scales a little bit for them, provide a little bit better opportunity for them. Where is God calling you to build a bridge for someone in need? I know the issue is not money, because the 10,000 Reasons Fund has been there for over a year, and there's money just available to help other people. Opportunities are there for you to bring freedom to somebody else, this message of freedom in Christ in the cross, but also to help tip the scales of justice for that person, to make things right, to stand up, to stand with those who are marginalized in our society. What? Imagine if Royal Redeemer were known in this community as a place where people were discovering real freedom. Something is happening where people are discovering real freedom in Christ. And imagine if Royal Redeemer were known as a place where people were making a real difference for the poor and the marginalized around us in our community. You know, that will happen not because you or I are guilted into doing more. Like, oh, I should be doing more, you know, could be doing more. It's not going to happen. Guilt, Lutheran guilt, just doesn't last real long. It will happen, I can tell you, it will happen when you and I see the beauty of the cross, where our King, the King of the universe, leveraged his power for us, taking on our sin, your sin and my sin, so that we could live free. That love poured out on us is what inspires us. And not only that, he gave us identity and security, and he gives us great purpose that we can live out every day in whatever situation we find ourselves, to live out this love that has been poured into us, to make a real difference for someone who is in need. And that's what we're about when we pray, your kingdom come, every day. That's what we're saying to God. God, show me those opportunities and give me courage. Give me strength by your Spirit to go where you're calling me to go. So let's pray. Father, your kingdom come. We thank you for the cross where you set us free. Open my heart to your grace that I might live free every day. Open my eyes to that person who needs freedom, who needs this freedom you're offering, and give me the words, give me the actions to convey your love to them. And Father, move me to take my part in making things right for those in need around me, those on the margins. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You might be